And Jeff doesn't need any introduction, I don't think. And you're not from Saragota?
Lakeshore.
Lakeshore, okay. From Lakeshore Township, Jeff Rankins. Welcome, Jeff.
I want you to stand with me, and we're going to proclaim the truth of God's Word. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. We're going to be in Genesis today, starting in Genesis chapter 22. The title of the message is The Faith of Abraham. We're going to be looking at Abraham and his life. Genesis 22, and to start with, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." And Abraham immediately went into procrastination mode because he didn't want to do it. No, that's not what it says, is it? Verse 3, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Actually, I kind of jumped ahead here a little bit. We're actually kind of reading not the end of Abraham's whole story, but the end of what I'm going to talk about today. And we see this impossible, incredible request where God comes to Abraham and says, "You know, I want you to make a sacrifice. Take your son that I gave to you, take him up on the altar and sacrifice him to me." And wow, Abraham does it. And it's kind of like, whoa, this guy's way out of my league. How in the world did he get this way? So that's what we're going to do today. We're kind of backtrack a little bit and see, you know, whether Abraham was just born this way, or if some of these things that build faith like Abraham are only for Abraham or for us too. So we're gonna kind of go back through some of God's history with Abraham and take a look at some of the events that brought him to this point. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So first of all, it's kind of interesting. I mean, he's still Abram at this point, is 75 years old when this starts. You know, a lot of us think age 75, you think, oh man, been on Social Security for 10 years. Kind of slowing down, not going to really start anything new, but God comes to him with a little bit different idea. He's kind of just getting started with what he wants Abram to do. And the thing is, you know, he comes to God with two things. He comes with a command, he wants him to move, and he also a very large promise. He's going to make him into a great nation. And the thing is, in that time when he talks about making people into a great nation, usually it kind of involved two parts. One was a land, and the other part was a people, which meant descendants. It's interesting, you know, because Abram at this point, 75, is his wife. He robbed the cradle a little bit. She's 10 years younger. She's 65. They do not have any of their own children. But God says, you know, move on out. So he does. I guess just the point, you know, to make from that first set of verses we're looking at here is that God initiates and we respond. Abram responded by moving promptly. He left his country, left his people, left his father's household, which is to say that he kind of left his comfort zone. God called him out of his comfort zone. And a lot of times in our own faith journey, that's what God's going to call you to. If he's going to have you grow closer to him, he's probably going to call you out of your comfort zone. Okay, so we keep going along here. We're going to keep reading a little bit more. Learn a little bit more. Genesis 12, verses 10 through 20. Abram's moved. He's gotten settled in a little bit. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that he was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her too. And she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me, he said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. First thought is Abram, he was just born with a lot of faith, and he didn't ever question God, and he never worried about anything. But you see here, he kind of run into a little test. He gets down to Canaan, and there's a famine, so he has to go down to Egypt. So he's facing a little test because he realizes that he's probably going to be in danger a little bit here, because the custom on this a little bit was that if the Pharaoh was going to take somebody into his harem, he couldn't do that if she was somebody's wife. So the way you solve that is you get rid of the husband, and then he was free to do that. So that's why Abraham does this. And sometimes it's easy to have faith, but it's the kind of thing where rubber hits the road. Do you trust? You've got to make that decision. But that's what Abraham faced. He faced a test, and the fear came. Everything was fine, but you realize, if these people see my wife, they might kill me. He actually, he kind of failed. And then it's a couple things that happened out of that. One is, it wasn't just consequences for Abraham. It was consequences to Pharaoh's household. They had diseases and everything else come on them because of Abram's lie. One thing we learn out of that is, you don't have to lie, cheat, or steal for God's plan to work out. If you're not operating in God's ways, you're not operating in his plan. So let me read on a little further about Abram. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram says, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Now, Abram's not young. God calls him when he's 75. At this point, he's older. And God reconfirms this thing that he is going to have a land and a people. But, how is this going to happen? Well, we don't know what's going to happen. So we go ahead and jump to 16, verses 1 through 4. This is his wife has a plan. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to do what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. So basically, Sarah panics. It's like, well, I don't know how God's going to do this. I don't really know. I don't really know if God has a plan. So I think what I'll do is I'll help him out a little bit. That's really, very clearly, not what God intended for Abram. Abram was going to have his own children through his wife. But Sarah panics, and the result brings discord and grief. So we can't do, the thing we learn about faith is we can't do God's job for him. He can and he will do what he says. We keep following along in chapter 17, where God changes Abram and Sarai's names. He says, chapter 17, 1 through 5, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as For me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Now here we are. Now Abram is 99. Sarah is 89. And God's saying, yep, got some kids coming. And then God sent some visitors to him to reconfirm that in 18, verses 10 through 14. It says, then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. This is interesting, because now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tents which was behind him. Abram and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, now I will have this pleasure. Then the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. For the woman, it was obviously well beyond childbearing time. And they've been waiting. Since this whole thing started, God comes to Abram, they leave the country. It's been 25 years they've been waiting. But God says to him, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's the thing we need to ask ourselves when we face tests and temptations. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If you know that God told you something, he may have talked to you individually, he may have talked through his word, he may have spoke through you through someone else. If God has told you something, don't laugh. Just wait expectantly and be prepared, because nothing is too hard for God. If you know that and you understand that and you believe that, your faith will blossom and grow and your life will bear fruit. You know, the question is, how do you get to know? You know, basically at this point, we're getting to the point where Abraham's getting to know God pretty good. I mean, it's one thing to casually meet somebody. It's another thing to walk through the valleys with them. Someone to me explained it a little bit like marriage. It's kind of like, the first day of marriage, you're married. You've got a license. It's official. You are 100% married. 30 years later, you're really not anymore married, but you've been through the ups and the downs. You've stayed faithful. You've grown closer. Your trust has grown. It's the same with our faith. As you put your faith in Christ the first day, the first moment, you're going to heaven. But as you walk through life and you put your faith in God, it will grow, it will change, it will blossom and develop, and the fruits in your life and those around you will grow. And we don't have to be perfect. I guess that's the other thing looking at Abraham. You read that passage I first read, it's like, wow, who can be like Abraham? God comes to me and says, go sacrifice your son. I'm not going there. So forget it. It's like, well, that's not where Abraham started. God met Abraham where he was, walked with him, and grew into that faith. We don't have to be perfect. God is the one who will perfect us if we let him. And then, of course, Isaac, the son in chapter 21, is born. So that's where we pick up, where we started. God comes to Abraham and says, hey, will you take your son? Will you sacrifice him? And the thing is, Abraham, as we've seen him do several times throughout this progression, promptly obeys. God puts this out to him, and he didn't procrastinate. It says early the next morning, up he goes. The thing we got to realize that's happening by this time, though, is Abraham has made a full commitment of his life to the Lord. And when Isaac was born, they consecrated him, circumcised him, consecrated Isaac to the Lord. So when God says, will you take my son Isaac and sacrifice him, it's like, well, he's kind of, at that point, gotten to the point where he understands God, he trusts God enough that if he does what God desires, God will be happy, and God has a plan. He has this son who's going to finally fulfill this prophecy that God's given him of being a people and a nation, and God's asking him to give that up. He says, okay, you want it, it's yours. And that's the thing, where part of this application comes into our lives is your faith journey to the point where are you willing to surrender everything to him? And that's the whole thing. You have to remember who God is and remember who gave you everything you have. And Abraham had come to that point. And that's really, the point that we want to come to and get ourselves to is so that we realize who God is and what role he plays in our lives, that he is everything, so that when he makes a request of us, we have really no choice in our heart but to say yes to him. So we're going to go on and read just a little bit more of the rest of this story, 22:13 through 18. I'll back up one verse. It said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." The result of Abraham's obedience and faithfulness is blessings to him and for those around him and beyond. And that's the thing for us. We need to continue on the road of faith. Sometimes it looks hard to be faithful to God, to be obedient to him. But in the long run, if you want to avoid the path of death and destruction, the path to life and blessing is the path of faith and obedience.